Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Kathleen Grattan with the Occupational Health Surveillance Program at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And today I'm going to be talking about employer reporting under new OSHA reporting requirements. I just want to acknowledge there was many folks involved with this project, and many of them, Michael Fiore, James Lang, and Elise Pector, actually do a lot of, like, they're actually out in the field, and they're actually talking to the OSHA regional offices. And I'm just kind of behind my desk running the numbers and doing the data. So I just want to acknowledge the contribution that they make to this effort. So I'm going to be really focusing on work-related amputations today, and I probably don't need to tell this audience that it is a very serious sentinel event, even though it happens generally infrequently compared with some other injuries and illnesses or other injuries. So the data that we're looking at, my program, the Occupational Health Surveillance Program, we have regulatory access to the amputation reports under disease reporting requirements in Massachusetts. And we get weekly reports of the workers' compensation lost time, which is the five or more lost workday claims for amputations. I'm going to refer to them as the workers' comp reports, WCR. Interesting enough, this is like the best real-time occupational health surveillance data that our group has access to at this point. Maybe someday we'll have some access to the, like, I'm looking at Maria over there, the syndromic surveillance. We'll be able to get figure out how to access the data for occupational health events. And so actually since 2011, our OHSP, actually folks in our group, people I referred to, have actually referred cases to OSHA for worksite follow-up from this data set. In terms of OSHA data, this is pretty exciting. Since January 2015, OSHA has required employers in federal OSHA states to report an amputation, an inpatient hospitalization, or loss of an eye that occurred within 24 hours of a work-related incident. And so, again, I'm focusing today, this particular study, on the amputations, but it would be really interesting to look at inpatient hospitalizations and loss of an eye as well. So the OSHA definition of an amputation is really the traumatic loss of all or part of a limb or external body part. And so I give some examples here. That includes a fingertip amputation with or without bone loss, a medical amputation from irreparable damage, the amputation of a body part that involved some type of reattachment. And so it also excludes the motor vehicle related or the amputations that occurred in public transport, the avulsions, degloving, and enucleations. It also would exclude delayed amputations that happen more than 24 hours after the event, and in Massachusetts, also public sector. So the study aim is really to assess the reporting of amputations by employers in the first 17 months that after this regulation went into effect. And so does this reporting by employers vary by industry, size of employer, the time interval? So if you take the 17 months and divide them into three intervals. So that was really our basic question, really with the goal to inform OSHA outreach, compliant assistance, enforcement. So some of the priorities that OSHA is dealing with right now. And it also sets sort of a baseline for seeing how reporting might change over time. So our methods, for the workers' comp reports, we basically pulled amputations based on an ANSI code of 100. We excluded the public sector, the motor vehicle, as I mentioned, the degloving, late amputations that occurred more than 24 hours after. It was really hard. I think we only had one of those. It was really hard to know from the workers' comp data when the amputation occurred. And also injuries clearly not amputations. This ANSI code of 100 obviously doesn't have a lot of specificity or sensitivity, so we needed to actually do a little bit of manual review of some of these cases. For the severe injury reports, we got this data through the OSHA Office of Statistics, and that was really great. This is a really rich data source, especially there is also a publicly available one, which I'll talk about in a minute, but This is really, really rich data. The narratives are really rich. I mean, I'm very excited. I don't know to the extent the data that you actually get from OSHA that you request, I think, is a little bit even richer than what you might be able to get online. But I did give the online reference down below of where you can find this data. You could actually go outside right now and download it from this, sort it by your state, and you would have this information. So for the severe injury reports, we pulled the amputations reported by employers, and we excluded just one case. So we generated a count of unique amputations, and that's what we used our workers' comp data to sort of supplement. And we linked, to get at the unique count, we really linked the workers' comp reports and the SIR, severe injury reports, on date of injury, plus or minus 2 days in SAS, and we did some manual review. And so we computed the percent captured by data source and percent reported to OSHA by employers. So our findings. So the total unique cases reported by the two data sources was 184. The employer reported cases accounted for just under 50%, as you can see, the SIR row, which really wasn't too surprising to us. With many of you aware, the vast information about underreporting that many folks in this room have actually contributed to this vast knowledge of research. And it's also pretty consistent with what OSHA surmised was happening at the national level. And they did sort of an evaluation after 1 year that the regulation was in effect, or the new regulation was in effect. So the Venn diagram, it's not exactly drawn to scale, but it gives you a sense of the magnitude of the overlap between the workers' comp reports and the severe injury reports. And really, the lack of overlap was a bit surprising to me. I mean, we might not expect the OSHA cases to be in the workers' comp, but we really would expect those workers' comp cases to be in that severe injury pie. Since the workers' comp amps are the ones that are resulting in five or more work days, and they are likely the more severe cases, the more severe amputations. So again, this might not be too surprising, and it's somewhat consistent with what we've seen in the past, but the percentage reported by employers was generally lowest in the small establishment and the highest in the mid to large establishments. There was some little, I don't know what was going on with the employer establishments in the 500 to 1,000 range, but again, this is sort of small numbers, so when we start really breaking it down by even size class, things get unstable, and you can sort of see by my confidence intervals there. When we look at employer reporting by amputation, the employer reporting of amputations by industry sector, we can really see that the highest percentages down at the bottom there are in manufacturing. In the non-metal, wood, paper, and chemical printing, 87% were reported by employers, followed by the food and textile manufacturing, which was about 77%. And then there was also, you can see also construction is somewhat high as well. And this is also consistent with what we've observed earlier with some of our enumeration of amputations using multi-source data. We saw the majority of amputations happening in manufacturing and construction. But what was interesting is what's going on in that administrative support and waste management. So that top category there where there's 18 cases. And I looked just a little bit more closely at those, and a majority of them were landscaper contractors or staffing agencies. So not surprised the staffing agencies. Even though they share the responsibility, there's a shared responsibility between the temp staffing agencies and the host employer for ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. This was it was not surprising that there was not the reporting in that respect. Sorry. So we also saw that there was employee reporting of amputations by time interval. There was definitely a little bit of an increase there at the end of the 17 months. Again, the limitations of small numbers with this little pilot study. There was some misclassification of cases that you may expect with this sort of study, but really that's of less concern in light of really the major limitation, which is that the workers' comp records really capture a really small proportion of the work-related amputations overall. In our previous study, we captured only 50% of the bone loss amputation cases employed in establishments covered by OSHA. So if we take that sort of proportion, so applying that proportion to what we actually were able to capture in this study, you know, we're seeing that there'd be at least 240 work-related amputations due to bone loss. And we won't even go, and this is only the bone loss cases. So this comes to the conclusion that there is really substantial underreporting of the work-related amputations by employers en masse using the workers' comp data to supplement. And as I just demonstrated, very conservative estimate. We would expect the employer reporting lower among the smaller establishments, and it varies by industry. We're hoping that these findings would inform the OSHA educational outreach and enforcement. And we would really hope that other states would kind of consider some kind of a similar collaboration with OSHA. And really our next step is to look at what the OSHA action and compare what happened. Was there violation? Was there citations, and compare them between the workers' comp cases that were referred to OSHA and the ones that were employer reported. Thank you.